So, Father, I just thank you so much. Hallelujah. What a precious day it's already been, Father. What a precious pastors, parents, and Lord, as we just dive in a little bit here in your word, we ask you for your presence, Father. Lord, may you speak to all of us what you want to speak to us, Father God. We're open. We open up our hearts to receive from you. We love you, Lord, so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if I have a title of the message today, it's called My God. Simple, My God. So, I want to start with Mark 8, 27 through verse 30. And this is NIV. Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. Still others, one of the prophets." Verse 29, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. So all of us have heard this phrase. This phrase has been coming, stirring in my heart for a few weeks. Who do you say I am? Amen. This is a question that I don't really recall. I don't really recall necessarily anybody asking me personally, "James, who do you say God is?" But this is a question, though, that life circumstances will ask us. Whether it's a financial problem, whether it's healing in our body, there's going to be things that hit us all that says, "Who do you say I am, James? Who do you say I am?" Hallelujah. And who we say he is to us carries more weight than what anybody else says. Amen. The power of our words, the power of who he is to us. And I just love this. And I was thinking about this too, because at this point in time, when Jesus asked the disciples this, I was doing a little bit of research. They had already walked with Jesus, I think, about 2 to 2.5 years. Wow. Yeah. And it's just at this point now, he's asking, "All right, guys, who do you say I am?" There's all this stuff going on. Yeah. Like, and I was looking at it too. They had already seen the Jesus calming the storm, which I love. You know, he's asleep, the winds and the waves, and he gets up and says, "Peace be still." They saw that. They saw the feeding of the 5,000. They saw Jesus walk on water, spooky, you know. But now he's just saying, "Who do you say I am?" And they're like, "Well, some say this, some say that. But I say you're the Messiah." It's just a cool thing. So that leads me to my next point. Who is he to us? Who is he to me? Who do we say he is? So everything we see in the Word of God, no matter what it is, it has to be for you, for me, personalized. That's right. I know for me, when I've read the Word, especially some of the stuff in the Old Testament, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, but I don't know if I'm a prophet wearing a, you know, the ephod and all those things. But every time we read the Word, especially lately for me, every time I read it, I'm like, how am I looking at this? How is this applying to me? Which leads me to Psalms 23. We all know it. There's 6 verses in it. But I love it. I love Psalms. And I would say Psalm 23 might be my favorite scripture. I mean, book of the chapter. Yes. Thanks, Mom. So Psalm 23, New King James says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I, not just Pastor Mark, I shall not want. Hallelujah. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me, James, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I, sometimes, we all, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with, not just you. He's with me. Hallelujah. Where was I? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I, Pastor Tom, Pastor Kim, we will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. And I thought this was interesting too. Just 6 chapters in this short verses. Yeah, thanks, Mom. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. All right. How do I, am I okay to do myself? No. But I was thinking about it. Actually, at my job, we do devotions like 3-4 times a week. And I had devotions. It was my turn a few weeks ago. And it just came on my heart to read Psalms 23 in different versions, translations. And I was looking at it. And in this short chapter, it says I four times. It says me 7 times, my 6 times. And this is only 6 verses. So that really technically has, it's 17 personal references. Short chapter. And I could, this is a verse, a chapter I could read every day. Me, myself, and I. It reminds me of a joke. I won't go there, but what about Bob, guys? And then Psalm 91, we don't have to turn there, but Psalm 91 says too, 91 verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. This is just something I'm seeing over and over again. Like I said, the word is so powerful. And it's not just for pastors. It's not just for ministers. It's not just for people who have been serving the Lord for 50 plus years. It's for all of us. That's why it's like I, me. So on a personal note, I want to talk about Him being my shepherd. He's your shepherd. I know that. But I'm talking about me today a little bit. No. My shepherd. So John 10, verse 14 and verse 27 NIV says, I am the what shepherd?
Good shepherd.
That's right. I know my sheep. We go back. And my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me.
That's good.
You guys ever seen those videos of, I know when I was still at Faith Life, Mrs. Moore, she would show sometimes a video of these sheep. There's like tons and tons of sheep on a hill, and they would have a shepherd, their shepherd, but they did like a test where other people would call the sheep, and they're like, I don't know what they said, Suey, I don't remember, but the sheep wouldn't come. Just these random people, the sheep wouldn't come. They're like, nah, I'm grazing. But when the shepherd came. And they said, come here, sheep. They all came running. They're like, why? They knew his voice. They're like, that's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. Is he your shepherd?
Yes.
Mine. Hallelujah. Well, and then on a personal example, thinking about my shepherd, this was a long time ago before Eden was born. Eden, say hi. So this was years ago. Esther and I were renting an apartment in Branson, and it was a nice little apartment. I really enjoyed it, and honestly, I was pretty comfortable in it. Like my wife, I don't really like change very much. Even if it's like a one bedroom studio apartment, I'm like, okay, where's the TV? Where's the sink? Okay, I'm good. And AC, of course. But anyway, at the time I was working at a school, I was a custodian, and like I said, we were in this little apartment. I don't even think Eden was born. Was she born yet? No. Were you born yet? Yeah, she wouldn't remember. Yeah. So I remember there was this house, some friends of ours, they were renting a house from some other friends of ours. And so our friends were moving out of the house. And the owners, which are some other friends of ours, lived in Florida. They had listed the house. It was like a day, right? Yeah, for sale on Zillow. And because they wanted to sell it. I mean, if you have a house, you want to sell it. Unless if you're not living in it. So I remember my buddy of mine, he was actually talking with Esther. And he's like, have you ever thought about living in this house? And Esther's like, have you ever thought? I'm like, no. Why? I don't want to move. Moving's not fun. Unless you know, that's a side note. If you ever get a truck, just be forewarned. If you have a truck, they're always going to say, hey, you got a truck. Can you help us move Saturday at 5 a.m.? That's why I don't have a truck. Amongst other things, I don't know how to drive a stick. Like, anyway, where was I? How did we get way over there? So I was working at the school, and Esther, she was talking to me about, she had texted the owners of the house and was like, hey, you ever thought about renting it? And they're like, they were praising God. I wasn't in the conversation. I was busy cleaning up kids' messes. Any custodians out there, man, I got mad love for you. But anyway, so when she texted them, they were just like, man, we wanted to rent it, but you guys, James and Esther, you guys are like the only ones we would even consider to rent it. And so then, of course, you get off the phone, and Esther's talking to me about renting this house. And I'm like, dude, really? I mean, I don't want to, like, change, you know? I'm comfortable in the apartment. But it, for me, at the time, it was a decision that was big, because a decision had to be made within, like, 1 to 2 days if we were going to literally move from our apartment to the house and then this and that. And so Esther's kind of like, we have to decide right now. And I'm like, for real? So I remember kind of wrestling with it, but I remember there was three buildings at the school that I was cleaning. And by the way, this was an old school that I saw like bats there, and it's kind of creepy. Anyway, I remember on the stage, there was another area of the stage in this other building that I was had to clean here and there. And I was just praying in my heart. I was just like, I remember laying on the stage and be like, Lord, is this something we're supposed to do? And just in my heart, I just was like, yeah, we got to do this. We got to do this. So I, long story short, we got in contact with the owners and we ended up moving into that house. And so, but it started with just that inward witness, you know. I've heard, we sat under Brother Moore for years and years, and a lot of times when he would talk about being led, he said, you know, I didn't hear like an audible voice. It just seemed good. But so we did that. We moved from our apartment to the house, and things were good for a while. But this was more money, Grant, you know, obviously. Our rent went up from the apartment to the house about $100 more a month. And we were doing all right for a little while, but, you know, things were getting a little, we had expenses. Eden was born. Sorry, Eden, but you cost money with the diapers, formula. So needy. No, I'm just kidding. But it ended up, though, being like this huge blessing. Because so much time with the Lord, almost all the time, we don't really see the beginning to the end. So, because what happened with that house, we rented it for several years. And then the Lord put us in a position to where we were renting it, and then we were able to buy it. And I was like, okay, we're really growing up now. We bought a house. All right. Wow. But then check this out. So we bought it. We had it for a while, like a year or two, something like that. How long do we? 2 years. And then the Lord started stirring our hearts about moving to Oklahoma. Well, I mean, that cost money. So we ended up being able to sell the house, got a decent amount of money. The Lord blessed us with a new car from the sale of it. And we were able to move to Oklahoma and just all these things. But it started off with being the awareness of he's my shepherd. Yeah. I wouldn't have known. I mean, I wouldn't have known working at that high school, that school that when we moved into that house to rent it, that we were going to end up in Oklahoma with a new car and all these things. It's just the way the Lord does things. Amen. Now, another thing is, you know, we already talked about it. For you, for me, he's my provider. Amen. Amen. I love it because he's not, we hear so much like he's the provider. He meets all of our needs. Well, that's awesome, but he's mine. Amen. So Philippians 4, we all know it. Philippians 4, 18 through 19 says, indeed, I, James, I have all, I am full, having received from that dude, Epaphroditus, the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And whose God?
My God.
My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God. Another cool example. So we got into that house, and then shortly after that, because our daughter was going to be born, we needed another car. Where's Andy at? Yeah, you remember that little Volkswagen I had? So we have that one, but it barely works. And then we have this other little BMW sports car, two-door. But, I mean, you have a baby. You don't want to have a car that struggles to get up a hill and then a two-seater. So we just felt good. It seemed good to buy this Jeep. And on paper, it seemed like it was fine. But after a while, after our daughter was born, we were making the payments, but all of a sudden we're like, where'd our money go? Like, I don't know where it's at. So I know Esther and I both, we were kind of tempted to be like, did we miss it in buying this car? But like, again, my shepherd, my provider, it seemed good to buy the car. It was one of those things where it's like, okay, we need to do this. So we paid the car note for about 9 months. But then check this out. Some friends of ours, they got in our heart and they called us. They said, hey, we want to pay your car note until it's paid such and such amount of money. We're like, for real? Okay. So they ended up doing that month after month after month after month until it was paid off. We only had to pay $100 a month for that car until it was paid off. Yeah. And then I was thinking about this last night, actually. The Lord is so good because when he blesses us, it's not just about us. I was thinking about the people, the friends that blessed us, help our car note. They had one car at the time, and really they needed two. But instead of buying another car, they helped pay our car note off. And then not that long ago, actually, probably 2 years, someone gave them a car. Yeah. I mean, nothing. I mean, it's like, here's our car, here's the keys, here you are. Yeah. They didn't have to pay nothing for it. Oh. Isn't that like the Lord?
Yeah.
I mean, why? He's my shepherd. He's my provider. And he's my healer.
Yeah.
So Psalm 103, this is probably, I have a lot of favorite, quote-unquote, healing scriptures, but this is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
My healer. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3 says, praise the Lord, my soul.
Yeah.
All my inmost being. Whew! Praise his holy name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, James's soul, and forget not all his benefit.
Yeah.
Nope. Benefits.
Yes.
Who forgives all my sins, and he heals all my diseases. So some of you may or may not know, I work now at a ministry. Anybody familiar with Rick Renner? Ministries? Yeah, so it's funny. I never thought I'd be taking prayer calls all day. I have like a headset on and I'm like, Renner Ministries, this is James. How may I pray for you? Interesting. If you knew me, you would know that's like not my personality. It's funny. I'm like, I got to talk to people all day and pray and be nice? What? No. What? But at least it's not face to face. So even if I'm like, hey, Pastor Tom, you need prayer? Okay, you're talking too much. And I'm like, I don't have to necessarily smile, but my voice can be nice.
Yeah.
Anyway. But so when I was thinking about my healer, like James's healer, I started thinking, of course, first, is there any personal examples of when I experienced healing? I'm like, well, yeah, tons, even recently. But what I was thinking about, the first thing that came to mind was my job. Because when we get prayer calls, I do take orders, donations, things like that, but we get a lot of prayer calls. And I'd say probably, it's 8 out of 10 calls is people asking for healing. Sometimes it's like 10 out of 10.
Wow.
I mean, really, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Pastor Rainer, I hope you're not listening. No, I'm just kidding. No. He's in Russia. So it's fine. I think. No, I'm just kidding. So, and this is, I'm going to preface this with, this is not a knock to anybody at all, like, at all. It's not a knock. But a lot of times when I get calls for healing, I can tell they don't know him as their healer. You know, and at our job, we're not counselors. We don't counsel. We don't give them a bunch of advice and things like that. We're there to pray. Partner care team member, prayer. But, yeah. But a lot of times I can just tell, you know, and I don't claim to be the super, super spiritual person, but just in my heart sometimes when I'm talking to them and they're talking to me, I can just tell they're not there. They don't know them. A lot of times I think they're actually calling someone, not necessarily me, but someone who knows them, knows God as their healer, because they're not there yet. And so a lot of times I have to pray kind of around them, if you will. Because especially a lot of times they're asking for a miracle from cancer or whatever, but I'm like, well, are you going to church? And they're like, no. Mm.
Yeah.
Sorry, people that have called or have called me. But it's just one of those things. I can, you know, I haven't been at the job very long. It's been like 6 months or something. But it's like I said, so many of the calls are like, they're asking for prayer for healing, but a lot of times it feels like they're begging. You know, I need, and I've had even calls, unfortunately, they say, I don't know why he hasn't healed me, it hasn't worked. And I want to say, it's working. But, and I, like I said, we don't counsel them, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I hang up and I'm like, it's sad. They know him as their savior. And a lot of times, honestly, these people, I'm sure they're great people. They believe it's his will for him to heal them. They know he can, he know he will. But it's just, there's that missing ingredient. It's just like, they're not there yet. But then I have other calls. I can hear it in their voice. Because faith has, faith, you recognize faith, right? And they're like, they call in, they might have a scripture, and they go, I want you to agree with me according to Romans 8:11, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead quickens my mortal body. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, Lord, I agree with them. You are their healer. What you did for them, what you did for me, you're doing for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Call us back with a praise report. And I was thinking about it with being my healer. So no matter what, like I've heard Brother Moore talk about this, you cannot beat it out of me with a baseball bat. Like, honestly, even if all these people, these four people got diagnosed with a terminal illness today, you cannot convince me that God is not my healer. You couldn't do it. It's impossible. Even if you had a bat, like the Blue Jays, like, sorry, Blue Jay. Wait, who won last night? Dodgers. And they're like, okay, you're going to renounce it, saying that God's your healer, or we're going to beat you over the head. I'm like, do it. It don't matter. I've seen it too many times. I've seen it with family members. I've seen it with friends. He's my healer. Amen? And that leads me to this next point, being it's not enough to know just what you believe, but know whom you believe. I know whom I believe, not just what. So 2 Timothy 1:12 says, I love this. 2 Timothy 1:12. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame. Why? Because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced. Why is he convinced? Why is he convinced? He already said it. I'm convinced because I know who. I know whom I believe. I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Hallelujah. You know, there's people in our lives that we just know. I know my wife. I know my dad. If someone comes up to me and says, like, Esther said this, did this, or did that, and it's totally off, I'm like, no, she didn't. Why? Because I know her.
You know her.
And if my dad, if they say, your dad, he ate 3 double doubles today, and he went to the movies and ate popcorn, I'd be like, yep. Yeah. I know whom I have believed, and I believe that he did that. Yeah. Like, but why? But why? Because I know him. I know her. And I know my daughter, too. If someone, this doesn't happen, if a principal or whoever calls me on the phone and says, well, Eden did this, she threw rocks at a boy and did this and that, I'd be like, no, she didn't. Well, why? It's your word against mine. Well, because I know her. She wouldn't do that. Hallelujah. And then speaking about knowing whom we believe, that leads me to the next point, that knowing God as our healer, our shepherd, things of that nature, it's about fellowship and not just formulas. Fellowship and not formulas. So I love this next. It just makes me laugh every time. In Acts 19, 11 through 16, cracks me up. So verse 13 says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. That just sounds funny. Like, in Paul's name, come out. Any Pauls in the house? Paul? Yeah. Sorry, Paul. Can't use your name to drive out demons. It won't work. Whom Paul preaches, command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? This part cracks me up. I want to see this when I get to heaven. I'll be like, Lord, can you show me this on replay? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked, bleeding. Just funny. But what happened there? They heard what Paul was doing. They knew the formula, but they didn't have the fellowship. They're like, okay, they're probably taking notes, right? When they cast out their demons, they're like, okay, whom Jesus preaches. They're like, no, I said it. Did we say it one time? No, he said it 2 times. All right. Jesus preaches. Did he use his right hand or his left hand? I think they use both hands. Okay. In the name of Jesus. Okay, we got this. Come on, boys. Let's do this. And they go, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. And they're like, well, they lost their clothes. Didn't work. They knew the formula, but they didn't know him. I've been guilty of this. I've used formulas before, but it didn't work. It's kind of like with cooking. Like, I don't know how to cook, but my mom could give me the recipe for her famous chocolate chip cookies, which I ate 3 last night in 1 sitting. Hallelujah, praise God forevermore. She could give me the formula. She could give me the recipe. And I could have, like, all day long. And I could have all the chat GPTs. And I could, like, do this, do that. And, wow, it could taste, like, not good. It's funny. I made scrambled eggs a few days ago. And it wasn't good because... She knows the formula, and I don't know. She knows how to do it. But anyway, and in Mark 11:22 to 24, we all know it. And I think a lot of times we get too quick to jump to verse 23 to verse 24, but we forget about verse 22. Verse 22 says, have faith in God. And there's a reason that 22 comes before 23 and 24. Have faith in God. I don't even think we need to read the rest. We know it. This is a faith church. We have to have, we do, but more faith in God than our prayer. It's faith in God, not faith in our faith or faith in our prayer or faith in our formulas. It's faith in God. Going back to my job, like I said, a lot of people they're calling, they have faith in the formula. They have faith if someone prays for them, they might get healed. They might receive their provision. Faith in God. That never gets old to me. Faith in God. So, in closing, I think... I'm just kidding. Let's see, let me get some water. Bottoms up. You know, we're talking about... And everything I've been talking about thus far, I've been thinking about it for me. I'm not thinking about, you know, necessarily you. I'm like, you need to know God better. I'm like, this is for me. So how do we know God better? How do we get to know Him better as my shepherd, my healer, my strength, so on and so forth? How do we do it? It's not overly complicated. Number one, I'd say the Word. The Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, excuse me, for the Word of God is alive. It's alive. Every time we read it, it's alive. Alive and it's active. Anybody work out in here? Yeah, I don't really much either. Yeah. But when you're working out, are you just sitting there? You're active. That's the Word of God. Every time we read it, it's like working out. It's active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. We can know God better simply by reading His Word. Yeah. I was talking to Esther about this the other day, and the Bible is the only book ever in existence that when you're reading it, not only are you gaining knowledge, but you're gaining intimacy as well. Think about it. I mean, that puts Harry Potter and the Wizards, like, you know, it's a shame. Sorry, millennial, I think. And if you think about it too, anybody, we have any readers in the house? My wife, she's been reading like a ton. She's read more books in the past 6 months than I think I've ever read in my whole life. Anyway, we can read a lot of books about whether it's a public figure, a past or former president, whoever. We can learn so much about them, but never know them. And my wife, I'm going to sing her praises for a minute, because for a lot of reasons, I don't want to be in the doghouse either. But rough, rough. No. I've been in the doghouse before. It ain't fun. I don't even have a dog. If I had a dog, being in the doghouse might be fun. No. But I want to give her some credit, for real. She's read, like, how many books have you read this year so far?
Like 33 or something.
33 books.
Wow.
It's like... That's younger than me, JK. No. But she's read 33 books this year already, and she's read a lot of the Bible. And she could tell you, but I'm going to tell you. We've been married 17 years, right? Thank you. Ooh, thanks. Got it. <All right. laughs> But she's read a bunch of books, and she's read, I think, the Bible since... at least the 17 years we've been married, more than she ever has. And I can tell you from the outside looking in, she's been knowing God more than she ever has. Is that right? Am I telling the truth? And a lot of it's come from just diving into the Word. And it's so funny. Like, lately, I've been hearing the importance. I've heard the importance of the Word my whole life. I mean, look at my parents. No, really, look at them. No, I'm just kidding. And though I've been hearing the importance of the Word for years and years, and at Faith Life, you know, Brother Keith, the Word, when we were in youth, it's all about the word, the word. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. But it isn't until like maybe recently, I'm like, yeah, the word. It's the word. It's alive. It's active.
Amen.
It's when we're reading it, it's not like nothing is happening.
Yeah.
Everything is happening.
Yes.
Mind renewal, health.
Yes.
I love how it says the word is life and health to all of our flesh.
Yes.
It didn't say the doctors. Yeah. Doctors are good. I like doctors. I've seen a lot of them. But the word is life. It's health to all of our flesh.
Amen.
Yeah.
And really, it's we are gaining intimacy. And this is kind of a side note. It's funny. Like I said, I've been hearing about the importance of the word over and over again. So my job, you know, Pastor Rick Renner, he's all about the word, the word, the word. And then I haven't met him yet, but I met his wife, Pastor Denise. Funny story. So I went to a women's meeting a couple months ago, September. Not by choice. So at our job in partner care, Denise Renner, she had a women's meeting at a church in Tulsa. And so partner care, they were required to be there. And at first I was kind of like, okay, cool. I got off the hook because I ain't, you know, obviously I'm not a woman. But they're like, everyone's expected to be there. I'm like, for real? I'm like, okay. I'm okay. So it was my first women's meeting I went to, hopefully my last. but I tell you what. You know what she talked about a lot? The word. It wasn't overly complicated. She said her and Pastor Rick were actually watching Benny Hinn recently. I think it was a recent Southwest Believers Convention. And he was talking about how a friend of his was asking him about as far as like how much is he reading. And I can't speak for Benny Hinn, but what Pastor Denise was implying was that he wasn't reading it as much as he should or maybe could. But they said when they were watching him, they said they could not take their eyes off Benny Hinn because he had started reading the word. I think she said he's doing like he's reading the whole Bible 3 times a year now, which is a lot. But they couldn't take their eyes off of him. It is the word. It's been in the word. It's alive. It's active.
Yeah.
And I noticed for myself even recently, reading in the Old Testament chapters where I was kind of like, I'm in Leviticus right now. I'm like, reading Leviticus, but I'm reading it and I'm just like, man, I'm seeing things I haven't seen before. Because the word is alive. It's active. So that's one way to know how to know God better. Another way? By prayer.
Yeah, sure.
The word and prayer. You can't go wrong. It's like peanut butter and jelly. PBJ. So Jeremiah 29:12 verse 13 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me."
Yes.
"When you seek me with all your heart."
Mm-hmm.
And James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you."
Amen.
"Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded."
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, and going back to about knowing God, and the thing about it too is like with my job too, I know a lot about Pastor Rick Renner. I know that he was born in Oklahoma. I know he went to Russia in the 90s. I know this and this and that, but I don't know him personally. Not yet. I haven't even met him yet. I could tell you a lot about him. I could tell you a lot about her. But I want to be a person that can not only tell you about God, but tell you about who he is to me.
Amen.
To know him. To know him.
Amen.
And there's two big reasons, too, that we spend time with people. The first one's funny, because you have to. I mean, there's certain people, what you work with, you have to spend time with them. I mean, you're their coworkers. Certain family members you have to spend time with, and you may not want to. And then there's a second reason why we spend time with people. It's because you want to.
Yeah.
God is longing to spend time with us. I hear it all the time at work. People, they call in, they're like, I want to be closer to God. I want to be closer to God. I'm like, well, the Bible says you make the first move. He loves us so much. And He's just waiting. Sometimes I've been there before. I'm like, God, help me, help me, help me. And He's like, well, dude, James, just come nigh to me.
Yeah.
Open your word. Yeah. And a lot of people, too, they're like, God, talk to me. Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. Well, where's your Bible? I heard Brother Keith say this recently in an old message I was listening to back in healing school. He said, he was saying something along these lines. He's like, people are like, God, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. And he said, well, what if you just opened your Bible? What if you wanted to hear God talk to you for 4 hours straight? Open the Word. Don't matter where you're at, He's going to talk to you. You're going to hear. It's alive and it's active. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So let's all be people that we spend time with God, not because we have to, we want to. And well, let's let that grow inside of us. My God, my shepherd, my healer, my provider, my strength, my fortress. He's mine. Hallelujah. So, praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.